Praise the Lord. This is a testimony for baptism by Amos and Rachel Kaufman, given on Wednesday, April the 18th, 2007. God bless you, Brother Amos and Sister Rachel, as you continue on for the Lord Jesus Christ.
And greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here tonight. It's always touching to me to go back in my life and open up and share my heart with people, but it's good to be here, and praise God for that. Share my testimony to go back some years. Hardly know where to get started. I remember as a child in school already, I think God was dealing with me when I was in my young years in school. I had times of depression, times of life not really making any sense, and I didn't know why. I always looked forward to the next part of my life, when I would be out of school, and then when I was out of school, I looked forward to going with the youth group. Seemed like I was always seeking fulfillment anywhere except with God. When I started with the youth group, I became involved in some pretty gross sin. Very soon was hooked on tobacco products. Was involved in some sexual immoralities. And seeing my life just became dark and cold. I was a ringleader with the youth group. Cussing and just, it's a dark part of my life. When I was 18 years old, I sensed the need to change my life, and the way I changed my life was more or less in a, I guess I could say a religious way, becoming more conservative, more, it was on my own, with my own power, I guess I could say. And life continued to get darker. Things just made less and less sense. I tried to read the Bible, tried to pray, and things just didn't clear up for me. Turned 19 years old, became increasingly depressed to the point of having dark, evil thought patterns of hurting people and so forth. I vowed I would never do that. I would take my own life before I ever snapped and hurt somebody else or anything like that. And with that thought pattern, Satan was right there. And that thought pattern took a hold. I came to the point where I was scared of myself, of taking my own life. I didn't want to, but there was no hope left. For about a week, I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled day and night. Finally, I knew I had to do something or I'm not going to make it. Came to the point where I knew if I take my own life, I would go to hell. But it seemed like the enemy was trying to tell me that that would be better than where I was at. Finally, broke down to my mom one evening. Don't know the date, but I recall it was on a Thursday evening in January when I was 19 years old. And I told her what I'm struggling with. And really opened up to her. She had gone through a depression a number of years before that. She could identify with me in a lot of ways, and she tried to help me and encourage me in every way she could. Following day, we went and saw a Christian counselor, which was very encouraging to me, but I was still afraid, still scared. And that evening before I went to bed, my mom told me, she said, "Amos, when you go to bed and you're afraid, just pray that Jesus would be with you." I went to bed that evening, and I remember I prayed. I don't recall the words I prayed. There's times I wish I would remember, but I don't. But I remember that I prayed that Jesus would be there with me, would enter. I can't recall if I asked him to enter my heart or the room, but whatever I prayed, it became very real, because in a few minutes, I sensed somebody walking into the room. not sure how to describe it except that if you're in a room by yourself and you sense somebody walks into the room with you and you turn around, sure enough, somebody walked in. That's what it felt like. And I sat up in bed to see who had walked into the room. I figured it'd be my mom or... I sat up in bed to see who had walked into the room, but nobody had walked into the room. And just as I sat up, I just had this overwhelming sense of peace that it was Jesus that came into my room and into my life. And I can testify my life changed from that day away. Nothing has been the same since that day. I fell into a deep, peaceful sleep, and for days after that, for 3 days, I just cried and cried and cried. God just totally broke my heart. The Bible became very alive to me. Simple verses like Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, or verse 7, be careful for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication make your requests. With thanksgiving make your requests be known to God. Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good for those who are called, for those who are, love God and are called according to His purpose. Verses like that became very real in my life and carried me through for a long time. We got married that fall, which was a blessing. After we got married and settled into married life, I have to admit, I'm not sure where to place this. If I backslid or if my life just became dormant at that time, I still had some remaining sin to deal with, which God worked on me over the years of repenting from some of those sins. But the biggest revival came about a year and a half ago. There was a major controversy going on in the community. There was a certain individual that came into the community and was offering classes for large amounts of money, and people were going through that, and it caused a great controversy in the community. And on top of that, I remember the day I was at work, and it just seemed like God spoke to my heart. And I just had a new resolve to read the Bible, understand the Bible better. And within a couple weeks of that, I totally committed my life to, I guess, to back up a little bit. After we were married, I was still living in a very religious setting and trying to, not quite understanding, not quite had the teaching of separating religion and true Christianity. So I was struggling through all that. Back to when that controversy was going on, I dedicated my life to the Bible. What the Bible teaches me, I will do. What it teaches me not to do, I won't do. And there again, it was a major revival in my heart for the last year and a half. God has just been really dealing in my heart, repented of a lot of remaining sins. And I guess I'll add to my testimony, this is all kind of new, about 2 months ago. Well, in the meantime, I'll have to back up again a little bit. For years, I was on and off medications, dealing with a lot of anxiety and not knowing how to deal with it. Last fall, I slowly started working myself off. I felt that with the Lord's help, I could do that, but was still struggling with putting my complete faith in Christ for helping me through that. 2 months ago, I, with the encouragement of Brother Mose, took a step in faith and have been totally free of medication. And it's been the best 2 months of my Christian walk since I'm a Christian. I have really learned to depend on Christ. There's a verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 30. The opening line would be, of mine own self I can do nothing. And that was Jesus talking. And it became very real in my life. And praise God, we press forward.
Good evening. I was a little bit nervous tonight, so thanks for your prayers. I heard some of you were praying for me. Yeah, I wrote down some notes. I'm not sure if I'm going to use them or not, or if they'll just, you know, kind of get me mixed up or not. But, yeah, I grew up on a farm, a big farm, and my parents loved me. But, you know, we didn't really show open affection, and we weren't really emotionally involved with each other. And so, little on, I sensed a void in my life, and I always tried to fill that void. Growing up, I was really emotionally unstable, you know, from growing up little. And when I, my God concept wasn't very good either. I always picture him as an angry God, you know, hoovering over me about every bad thing I did, and sitting in church when I would hear about the Lord coming in end times, you know, when on the judgment day, I was really terrified because I just knew somehow I wouldn't make it. I just didn't have that peace. Even though I would be asking the Lord to forgive me over and over for my sins, you know, and I just couldn't find that peace. You know, there was just something there I couldn't get filled. And in my teenage years, I had a lot of spiritual questions, but we were like kind of taught that you don't ask questions about, you know, the way you're doing things and stuff. And so I didn't really have anyone to ask those questions. And because I was told it can be deceiving if I would question the way we do things, the way we live, and why we're doing it. And so I really sought after the things of the flesh, you know, to fill that void that I had in my life. Eating was one thing, you know, when I was under stress, I would eat and eat. And I had bulimia, which was, I would go out back and throw up. Because I always had this fear of being fat, because someone had told me already that, you know, you're going to be fat too. And so I was always trying to please people and seeking praise. I was really a perfectionist. I would do things so that I could get praise from people, you know, again, trying to fill that void that I had, instead of trying to please God. Yeah, I was a people pleaser, and a workaholic in that. I mean, I just worked and worked and worked, trying to have everything perfect, you know, in perfect order. And, you know, I did get praise. People really thought, you know, wow, this is, you know, our farm was always so well kept and everything. I mean, I'm almost ashamed to say it, but I just had to have everything tip-top shape, you know. I mean, I guess just to explain it, I always had this list where every money I went through this amount of the farm, you know, like doing every corner. Till the week was over, I was in every corner of the house and every corner of the farm, you know, and garden, flower beds, and yard, and attics, and closets, and everything. And I was so miserable. I was so miserable because every time it wasn't quite right, you know, I was just a wreck. But I was very, you know, rebellious and resentful in my teenage years. I just couldn't really share my heart with anyone. But I was just, inwardly I was resentful and rebellious. I didn't really outwardly show it to anyone. I actually already told my mom about, I also grew up very fearful. And I, just recently I talked to my mom about it. She said she had no idea. I had like dark times in my life where I would actually see dark things, and I was always afraid of the dark, and immorality. And my heart was far from God. I was searching for answers, And I tried reading my Bible, but it didn't really make any sense to me. I just couldn't apply it to my life. As a family, we would read every other Sunday when we were at home, two chapters from the Bible, but then we didn't really expand on it or study it. So that was kind of what I grew up with. We weren't really encouraged to read the Bible, otherwise than that. But I know I did sometimes, but I just couldn't make sense of it. I was talking about my sinfulness. You know, I would keep asking God to forgive me, and I just couldn't seem to have faith that, you know, that He would forgive me for my sins. And not realize, I thought my life would have to be perfect to live for Jesus. Not realizing that Jesus died for me while I was yet a sinner. Also, when I got baptized when I was 16, I thought, you know, now I'm righteous in the Lord's eyes. I'm righteous. I guess I kind of thought, you know, that once I get baptized, my sins are all forgiven. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen with my sins I committed after that. I was just like, well, you know, I guess I just can't sin anymore because, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. And then me and Amos started dating, and I kind of looked at him as a spiritual one, and I thought, well, you know, maybe if I marry him, you know, it'll get me to heaven somehow. You know, he'll get me there. Maybe he might even be a preacher, and I might be a preacher's wife. You know, preachers and their wives, they'll get to heaven. I mean, they know what's it all about. And when we married, he read the Bible every day, and I was like, you know, this isn't really good, you know, because I was taught, you know, you shouldn't read the Bible so much because it's deceiving. So it might have been some of his backsliding after we were married, because I did not support him spiritually. Sorry to say that I wasn't taught to be submissive, you know. I made it rough for him and me, because I was still trying to please my parents, and they didn't approve of everything, you know, we did. So I thought they were number one authority over me, and so yeah, I was. But God was working at my heart. And our oldest son, we really had a struggle with him. He was so, we really had a challenge with him already. He was really out of control, and they had him labeled as ADHD, and I mean, it was really, it was really bad, and he really dealt with anger and so forth, and so that made me just search all the more. And and then my pregnancies too, I had what they call panic attacks. I mean, I got really bad over my pregnancies, and I was on medication, and you know, they said I would be on medication for life, and I was just like, well, you know, this is just, I mean, I got that psychology teaching, is that what you would say? I mean, it's secular. Yeah, I had the secular view of that. But over that, I mean, I was just so, I just came to the end of myself. I saw all these things that were happening in my life, and I was just like, you know, something isn't right. And I came so done with my life. I mean, I just started really searching for answers. I just somehow came to the conclusion that, you know, if our life would change, those other things could change too, you know, including my son, which was a big part of it. I was just like, you know, if we would change, he could somehow change too. And also my pregnancy, with our three oldest, after that I was like, you know, I'm not going to get pregnant again before I find out what I can do for myself. And so I was really, we decided to go for help, for counseling, and And through that, I just had a bunch of junk to get rid of. And so we found someone that could walk through it, and just renouncing sin and confessing. I was just confessed everything I could think of, which was really freeing for me. But it was over that time, I just knew that that Jesus really forgave me for my sins, and that He died on the cross for me, and it wasn't for my sins that I had committed, and it was through faith in Him, and it wasn't by it wasn't something that I earned. It was through His a free gift, and so I was really blessed with that. Romans 5 became so real to me. Before that, I had thought it was Jesus plus good works. And so I really realized, you know, it isn't. It is all through His grace and faith in Him that I could be saved. And it was not earned, but a free gift. And then the Bible became really real to me. I just dug in there, and it was so enlightening. I mean, it was just so, I mean, verse after verse, I just couldn't, I could just read all day. it was so alive. Instead of asking Him daily to save me, I can thank Him daily that He did save me. Now, instead of gaining approval from my friends and family, I love to live my life for the Lord that is pleasing to Him. And my family, I love to submit to my husband and be there for my children, even though it's a learning process. It did not happen overnight for me. I mean, it's a learning process. But it's so rewarding. And our oldest son has greatly, we can't believe the change in him, even though it's still really a challenge. It's just unbelievable. It's almost a miracle what happened in him. And also with my last pregnancy, it was just so great. I mean, I can't believe the difference. I mean, I felt so good emotionally, and everything just seemed so, I just felt lifted. The peace that I found, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have been so blessed, and the Lord is so good. He lifts us, He just lifts us through these difficult situations, you know, that we're facing now. It just feels like He's just lifting us through. And so, yeah, that we have been so blessed, and no turning back.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I want to thank you for your prayers and supporting us.
Amen, and thank you. Thank you as a church, the support that we have felt coming here, the open arms, smiling faces that we meet here, and the welcome that we have felt. And I just ask for your prayers as we continue on our journey. There's major change going on in our life, and we appreciate prayer from you fellow brothers and sisters. Thank you, and amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.